Honey, the police, they're here for the kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are forces that want to take your children out of your homeschool forever. It's a worldview thing. And one day a year, about 1,000 homeschool families converge on the Capitol to stand for their homeschool freedoms. This year, on Friday, April 8th, it's Homeschool Day at the Capitol, and your family can participate in this free event. Informative seminars, a noontime rally, historical and legislative tours, and you can sign your children up for the Future Statesman program. But most importantly, this is your opportunity to send a message to your legislators. We love our family, and we love our freedoms. This year, we are honoring Representative Dave Schultheis with our Statesman of the Year award. Do not miss Homeschool Day at the Capitol, April 8th. Sign up today at www.check.org. That's check, C-H-E-C.org, or call 877-842-CHECK. One day a year for freedom. Can you afford that?
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members at Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Stay tuned, my dad and Generations is next.
Warning, this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Half the marriages end in divorce, 35% of children born without fathers, and I'm supposed to raise my five children in this insane world? Crazy world. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here with you on Generations, and I'm a father, father of five, and no experts on this program, just a couple of dads trying to do it by the book. Yes, the Bible, we're trying to get back to the Bible because God knows what He talks about in His Word, and if we go back to that book, the hypothesis here is that things would go better. Things would go better.
You think?
I think so. Dave Buhner in studio. Dave, I think so. We've tried it with the other way, the humanist approach, the professional bureaucratic approach to the state-controlled approach to education, and look what we've got. Well, here's the Rhode Island bill. This would not allow religious instruction in the context of health and sex education, and they're not exempting Catholic schools, private schools, and potentially homeschools. What? This is hysterical, Dave. No religious content? Do you know what that sounds like?
Kevin, not only are they not exempting homeschools, they're targeting homeschools, and they're requiring that starting at 5 years old, at kindergarten, they be given this quote-unquote health education, which is sex education, and that no religion, no religious attitudes, and let me read from it here, does not teach or promote religion in coordination with teaching sex to your five-year-old.
Dave, this is what sex ed sounds like without religious instruction. You want to know what it sounds like? Here is a sex ed class without religion. That's it. The problem is all ideas are religious at their root. Every idea has a worldview presupposition underneath it. It's got a religion. You can't get away from religion. The point is that they got the wrong religion. They just don't want the Christian religion. You know, what they're saying is no Christianity. If you're going to teach sex ed, you teach it this way. Man is God. God is not God.
What they really want to teach is that you can have sex without consequences.
You got it. You make your own sovereign choices. I mean, should I fornicate? Should I not fornicate? You know, oh, let's see. What do I feel like doing today? Should I fornicate or should I not fornicate? I'm making my own sovereign choice. I am a piece of cosmic dust in the universe of pure chance. I'm not sure if it's a determinate world or indeterminate world. Philosophers haven't worked out that little glitch yet. But I am going to make my free choice because I am God. That's the religion they're promoting. Let's not kid ourselves.
But let's be honest here. The people who are promoting this bill in Rhode Island, what they really want is not to fornicate or not to fornicate. They want to teach your five-year-old to fornicate. They want your little boys to join NAMBLA. They want a bigger pool of young ladies to have sex with.
That's exactly right. They want a larger mailing list for NAMBLA. That's the end result here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a crazy bill, but it's happening in Rhode Island. This is the world we live in. Let's move on. Issue number two. Back in 1960, only 10% of little 3- and 4-year-old children were institutionalized. That is, they were put into some kind of a center-based educational program. By 1999, about 40 years later, that percentage increased to 58%. This is one of the most incredible shifts in sociological arrangements in our modern world. 10% of 3- and 4-year-olds institutionalized in 1960. 40 years later, 58%. Now, it is an article that just recently came out for the Denver Post, and somebody cut it out for me and sent it down to me. And Dave, it's called Out of Diapers Into the Classroom, September 13th, 2004. What they are saying, see, people want their children educated. That's the issue. They want their children to be successful. Maybe that's not a bad desire, okay? They want their children going to Harvard. They want their children to get a good education. So that's why they get them into early education. Now, they also want them socialized. One parent from MOPS said that she wanted her children socialized early. Now, this is funny in itself because I guess good socialization is getting your children into a big bunch of other 3- and 4-year-olds and getting them well socialized. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, just simply taking your child and putting them right in the middle of a bunch of 3- and 4-year-olds. I've never really been successful at introducing my children to a good sociological experience that way.
It seems like this MOPS mother of preschooler, might have done better perhaps to take her child along with her to the grocery store or perhaps to a nursing home to minister to some older people. Maybe take her child to church where there would be other children. It seems like the opportunities for socialization amongst a more diverse group of people would be greater if you didn't lock them up.
The amazing thing here is after all the increase in preschool attendance, I mean, think about it, from 1960 to 1999, an increase of 10% to 58% of our preschoolers in institutionalized programs, and yet after all of these preschool increases, after all of the government funding for preschools and kindergartens, the literacy rates are far, far lower than they were in 1960.
But you can socialize with the illiterates better.
Yes, better socialization with illiterates, with 3- and 4-year-olds, but the academic performance of our children today is pitiful. I mean, American youth, they rate with the academic performance of third world nations in math and science. It's gotten far worse. We are dissolving as a nation academically, and yet we've got all these preschool programs. Something is not working. Dave, it comes down to a bad worldview. And, you know, we bring up Jean-Jacques Rousseau again and again. What did Jean-Jacques Rousseau do? He institutionalized his children when they came out of the womb. He took them down to an orphanage and abandoned them, didn't even bother to check their gender, didn't give them a name. Didn't even name his children. Abandoned 5 in an institution and then wrote the book for the modern world on education called Emile. He wrote the book. And my Encyclopedia Americana says that this man influenced John Dewey and modern education more than anybody else. Rousseau wanted a system of public instruction by the state. He prescribed many years with an unmarried tutor who would withdraw the child as much as possible from parents and relatives, and they've been doing it for the last 250 years. Rousseau's orphans are everywhere, everywhere. 58% of our children now at 3 and 4 years of age are institutionalized. What do you do with a 4-year-old? That's the subject today on Generations. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
This is Kevin Swanson. Let me tell you, I'm planning to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son, Daniel, because parent-directed driver education has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years old and receive his license by 16. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start at just under $100, and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know you heard about it right here on Generations. It's the program that shocks the system. It's Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. But we are after the worldview that underlies the institutions today that are destroying our nation, destroying us academically, morally, and just about every other way. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that is tattered and broken, and it's because the ideas have been wrong. We've been doing things in the wrong way. The true definition of insanity is repeating something over and over and over again, expecting different results. And you're not going to get them with the system that Rousseau brought about. And by the way, Jean-Jacques Rousseau would be proud of what has happened in the modern world. 58% of 3- and 4-year-olds now attending preschools, institutionalized. This was exactly what he had envisioned in 1760. Well, Dave, you know, you read this article, and they want their 3- and 4-year-olds to have better social skills, so they throw them into the crowd of 3- and 4-year-olds. Now, how in the world are you going to train a child in a crowd of 3- and 4-year-olds?
It's really virtually impossible. If they want good socialization, they should put them around other things that are socialized so they can see good socialized models. I would suggest perhaps putting them in a stroller and dropping them off at the ape exhibit at the zoo, because I understand that apes are very well socialized.
They're social creatures. They're social creatures. Maybe that's what they need to do if they want good social skills.
Yeah, so just put them in the stroller, drop them off, and go have a cup of coffee for a while. Maybe that'll work.
What's going on when you institutionalize 3- and 4-year-olds? I mean, we've talked about how this institutionalization really does not capture the time-tested secrets of a successful education. We've talked about that again and again on this program. It does not bring about life integration. It does not respect the principle of individuality. It does not respect the principle of biblical worldview for the most part. It does not capitalize on the power of relationships. And we've discussed that again and again, that parent-child relationship is dynamite power. It accomplishes great things in the training of a child. So you're missing out on a lot, aren't you, when you institutionalize a 3- and 4-year-old?
You know, Kevin, prior to this program, I opened up the Concordance. I have a computerized one, and I looked up daycare, didn't find it. I looked up nursery. Didn't find it. In fact, I couldn't find a single reference anywhere in the Bible, which is our guide for life, couldn't find a single reference to small children being institutionalized or being herded like a bunch of cattle together. I couldn't find it any time.
It's not there. It's not like Ragu. It's not in there. It's just not in there, Dave. And you look at the Bible, what does it say about the parenting and raising and training children? Parents, you do it. Deuteronomy 6:7. Parents, you shall teach your children as you sit in your house, as you walk by the ways, you rise up, as you lie down. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs, my son, hear my voice. Follow me. I'm discipling you. I'm teaching you throughout the entire book of Proverbs. It is not there. It's not in there. The Rousseauian Platonic model of educating a child is not in the Bible. It's the wrong worldview.
It's the worldview that says that children are like products that are manufactured, and you take them through the raw materials process, and like a car, and you have one booth where they're painted and one booth where the engines are assembled, and they all do it all together, all at the same time. Well, children are not automobiles.
What does a child learn when he's institutionalized at 3 and 4 years of age? Well, first of all, most children are emotionally scarred when they are taken away from their parents for long periods of time every single day. I've seen these children. I've heard these children. I have talked to these children. I've seen these children grow up. They grow up emotionally scarred. What happens when somebody is never learned how to relate in a context of a permanent relationship? They become scarred, and they begin to live their lives apart from permanent relationships. You ever wonder why divorce exists as much as it does? Because the family's been fragmented and segregated when that child was 2, 3, 4 years of age.
And, you know, the church really suffers in this context. I have spent many, many hours counseling other men, and their biggest problem isn't that they haven't heard the gospel. It's that they can't trust a God who calls himself a father, because they can't trust their parents who abandoned them in the daycare. And that's the reason why people go from one church to another church to another church, because they don't believe in permanent relationships. They've been imprinted at a very young age that you just simply cannot have these permanent bonds.
So what happens when you institutionalize a 3 and 4 year old? You get a child who distrusts his parents. He's taught to distrust his parents. You can't trust your parents to raise you, to train you, to teach you. They can't do it. So don't trust your parents. Trust the professionals. That was exactly what Jean-Jacques Rousseau had envisioned when he wrote the book Emile.
And by extension, don't trust your heavenly father. Mm-hmm. Trust the institutions of men.
You have children that are insecure, that are emotionally scarred. You've got big problems.
You have huge problems. You have the breakdown of the family. If you can't have permanent relationships, you can't have permanent marriages. And when you're in a marriage and you know your chances of getting divorced are very high, you don't want to have those bonds with your children. Go ahead and send them off to daycare. Go get your boat and your car and prepare for your divorce.
Okay, Dave. Now, the question before us is, how do we raise our 3 and 4 year olds? Because you've got one or two. I've got one. Little Biggie. She was upstairs just before the program. We record this program at home. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs. She had an owie on her toe. So, I mean, I'm just going to go. I'm not an expert here. But I think one of the things you do with a 3 and 4 year old, as a parent, you do what God has called you to do and prepared you to do as a parent. You emotionally nurture that little sweetheart.
You kiss her toe. We go through a lot of Band-Aids, and, you know, inevitably the little cuts, they form a scar. And you know what? Our children call those God's Band-Aids. Now, where would they get that in some kind of institution? They wouldn't. No, they simply would not get that kind of care, that kind of love.
Yeah, and God is off limits. No God. So the first thing you do is you emotionally nurture that child. These are not emotional powerhouses, and this is one of the problems when you institutionalize, because you know what? Little children can get hurt. They can get emotionally hurt when they're institutionalized, and they're fragile. The Bible talks about the children being tender, and you need to understand that tenderness, and you can damage that child emotionally if you put them in the context where they could be mocked or derided or cut down or cut apart by their peers. And that happens all the time, every day, in schools all over America.
Now, that can happen within the context of siblings as well, but there's a huge difference. They will always be brothers and sisters. That's a permanent relationship. They have to learn the peacemaking skills. Now, we do our best as parents to keep them from using cutting language or hurting each other. There's a bit more oversight there. But because they exist in that permanent relationship, those wounds from somebody who's close to them are much better.
And in a normal, functional home, Dave, who loves that child more than that parent? And who looks out for that child's emotional well-being more than their own parent? We've got to protect and nurture these children. Let's move on. Got to train them, right? God wants us to train them. This is the word that comes back again and again. You've got to nurture that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You want to raise that child with God's word permeating his life as he sits in his house, as he walks by the way, as he rises up, as he lies down, as he watches television, as he drives in your car. In every experience, that child must be nurtured. And it's this idea of forming a beautiful statue you know, and it takes a while to carve that thing out and sharpen it. Over time it happens, but it takes a lot of time. And that doesn't happen by the time that child's 5, 6, 7 years of age. You've got to continue and work day in and day out on that project. And the biblical standard for nurture is not a herd mentality. This is something that has been just completely ruined in the modern system of education, this idea of mentorship, this idea of discipleship, and one-on-one training and working with a child. Rather, we have this herd that's just sort of moved from one pasture to the next in groups of 30, 40, 50, sometimes even 100. You just can't disciple, mentor a child in the biblical construct using the herd mentality.
No, or the assembly line. Now, the Bible does have a word that has some kind of group meaning to it, and that's covenant. So there is a covenant sense, but never a herd sense. We are not animals that are moved from pasture to pasture in order to fatten up for the slaughter.
And the covenant organizations are what? The family and the church. Those are the covenant organizations. So as your children learn to relate in the family and learn to relate in the church, now you're beginning to establish a biblical sociology, biblical social relationships. Folks, we've been talking about raising 3- and 4-year-olds today. Do you institutionalize them, or do you raise them, train them, disciple them, nurture them as you walk by the way, as you sit in your house, as you rise up, as you lie down? We'll be back in just a moment with more on Generations. Stay tuned. Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that is cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, 3 cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a 5-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.
Examining the worldviews that are destroying our children and our nation today on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, and contrasting it with the right worldview. As we wrap up the program today, may I recommend to you an excellent resource. We just got these in at our Parker Resource Center here in Colorado. I highly recommend this book. R.C. Sproul Jr. has just written an excellent book on the Deuteronomy 6-7 construct of education. It's called When You Rise Up.
R.C. Sproul Jr.'s new book, When You Rise Up. I highly recommend this resource for you. It will give you a concept of what the Bible says about educating and training and mentoring a child. You can get this book by calling 877-842-CHECK, 877-842-CHECK, or checkbooks.com on the web. That's checkbooks.com on the web. You can interact with this program by emailing me, Kevin, at check.org, with your positive comments or negative comments, Kevin at check.org. And you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for me. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.